Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 22, verses 1 through 16. Acts 22, verses 1 through 16. Hear God's Word. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison, as also the high priest and also the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren, and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But it happened that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Get up and go on into Damascus, and there you will be told all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him, and he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Let's pray together. Father, thanks again for your word. Good and gracious you are to us, better than we deserve. And we ask now that as we have an opportunity to look briefly into this section of Scripture, that you'll be pleased to bless us and give us understanding and carry us away, Father, with a better idea concerning the conversion of Paul, but also, Father, a better idea of how we may speak to others about how you were pleased to work in our lives and bring us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless us to this end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Record of the conversion of the Apostle Paul appears three times in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, here in chapter 2, and then again in chapter 26. Only the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of more than the conversion of the Apostle Paul. This ought to give us an idea that these narratives regarding the conversion of the Apostle Paul are important. They carry some weight. And this evening, as we look at chapter 22, as you can see from the outline, I'm suggesting that you may use the testimony of the Apostle Paul as a pattern for relating your own profession of faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to look at how Paul relates his conversion and see how it relates to us. That's what we're about this evening. So first of all, we look at this idea that as Christians, you and I are able. This is really important, is it not? You and I are able, as I say in that first point, to make a defense to anyone who asks to give you an account for the hope that is in you. Of course, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 is often used in apologetics classes with reference to making a defense for Christianity. But it's quite striking that as you look at the very first verse of chapter 22, that Paul says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense." Same word Peter uses in 1 Peter 3:15. And so I take it from that, that Acts 22 is an example of the type of defense Peter is speaking of in chapter 3 and verse 15. And I'll put it this way. Since you were at the scene of the accident, you are automatically a witness to what has taken place. If you're in a car accident, the police will interview you as a witness to what took place because you were in the accident. You were there. And in a similar fashion, since you have met Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ came to you and introduced himself to you, you were there and you are therefore able to talk about this. See, this is the idea. It's not that somehow the Holy Spirit's going to come to you and then make of you a witness after you have been converted. No, you already are a witness by virtue of the fact that you participated in the accident. And so you are able to make a defense for the hope that is in you. This is how the whole matter begins. And then Paul turns to the idea of what he was like before Christ came to him. And I say to you, whether you remember it or not, your story begins with your life outside of Christ. And I'll address that more particularly in a moment. But now look at verses 3, 4, and 5 where Paul addresses his life outside of Christ. He says, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted the way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. Now the big thing to get here, it seems to me, is that Paul was trained by one of the outstanding practitioners of Judaism of the day, Gamaliel. And Gamaliel lived in the first century and he died about 50 A.D. before the destruction of Jerusalem. And this outstanding scholar was the mentor for Paul, who became, of course, the Apostle Paul. Paul was an expert in the ways of Judaism and in the ways of the law. And he was an expert in teaching a way of salvation based upon works, based upon the works of the law. And he despised Christians. He could not abide anyone who professed Christ as the Messiah. And he did all he could to put them into prison and see them put to death. He was a persecutor of Christians. And in that condition, had he come into a church like this, he would have said, "You are all a bunch of rank heretics deserving of death. And I'm going to do all that I can to see that that takes place." That was his attitude. And so then he says he received the letters from the officials in Jerusalem to go to Damascus to get after the Christians there. You and I have a time in our lives when we're outside of Christ, big or small. And if you're a young person who grew up in a Christian home, praise God. Praise God that that's the case. And I would suggest to you that you talk to your parents and query them about your own life. And particularly query them about when it first began to dawn on you that Jesus was your Savior. You may not remember that. You may not know that. That's okay. That's good. Others of you were converted later on in life, in high school or college or after college. In my case, it was after college that we came to know Christ. And as some of us can talk a little bit more fully about our lives outside of Christ. If you grew up in a Christian home, you can say, "I grew up in a Christian home and I really, really don't remember the time that I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. My parents told me that when I was so old that I first really expressed a faith in Christ. And they taught me from a very young age to love Jesus." You can talk about those kinds of things. Others of us, as I say, were converted later in life and can tell other stories about that time. But then, at some point, Christ intentionally met you and revealed himself to you. And you see this in the life of the Apostle Paul in verses 6 and following. But it happened that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking. Who initiates the encounter? It's Christ, is it not? It's always Christ who initiates the encounter. And if you are a Christian, at some point Jesus Christ initiated an encounter with you and brought you to a saving knowledge of himself. What an important thing this is. As the Apostle John says, you love because he first loved you, correct? This is how it works. You don't initiate the contact with him. He initiates. And this is what happened with the Apostle Paul. And a bright light stuns him. Who are you, Lord? Well, you can imagine, stunned and thrown to the ground. And what is the response? I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. If this man was not stunned by those words, we can't imagine what he felt. He had to be stunned by those words. Out of the blue, like a bolt of lightning, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And of course, the persecution of the church was tantamount to ripping the body of the Savior apart and attacking the Savior. And this is what Paul was doing. This was personal. It was personal for Christ, and it was personal for Paul on the Damascus Road. And Jesus Christ came to him and initiated this contact. I remember very well when I walked into a chaplain's office and he asked me, what are you doing here? And I said, I have no earthly idea, which was correct. And when he opened the Bible and started reading from the Bible, Jesus Christ was initiating contact. And for the first, I'd been to church. But for the first time in my life, I understood what the Bible was saying to me. Christ initiating contact. And whether you're a child in the home, and you're reading Bible stories, Christ is initiating contact. Or whether you come to church and you've never heard the gospel before, and that babbler up behind the pulpit suddenly makes sense. Christ is initiating contact. And this is what happened with the apostle. And so at some point, that occurs. And you can talk about that. And for everyone, it's a little different, is it not? For everyone, it's a little different. Because we're all different individuals. We all grow up in different families and in different circumstances. We come from different locations, etc., etc. And so how Christ meets us will be a little bit different in each life and in each case. At the same time, you may experience a period of darkness and conviction. And this is exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. And in verses 10 and 11, we see this. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see, struck blind." What would you do if suddenly you were struck blind? It would be a little bit of a shock, would it not? "But since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came to Damascus." He asks the question, "What shall I do?" And he's given some direction. Not a lot of direction, but a little bit of direction. Keep your finger there and go back to Acts chapter 9 and verse 9 and note what it says there. Acts chapter 9 and verse 9. "And he was there, was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." He was 3 days without sight, in darkness, stunned by what had taken place. What do you think this man was thinking about? What do you think he was thinking about? He was well read and versed and studied in the Old Testament. He knew this book. And suddenly, everything in his life has been turned upside down. The person whom he despised, it appeared, had revealed himself to him. And this person whom he said could not possibly be the Messiah turns out to be the Messiah. That the Jesus whom Paul loved to see run into the mud and his followers murdered, after all, he stood by, did he not? When Stephen was stoned to death, and he stood by with approval as Stephen testified, defending himself, that the temple pointed to Jesus Christ, and that the end of the law was Jesus Christ, and that he was not blaspheming the temple, and he was not blaspheming Moses, that it was the church, that it was the fathers, the Jewish fathers, who were blaspheming Moses and blaspheming the temple. And so it was that Stephen defended himself. And that defense must have been ringing in his ears. And all those prophecies that spoke about Christ, that at least the Christians said spoke about Christ. And he said, "No, no, no." He must have reviewed them. Because now he couldn't deny experientially what had taken place in his life. Everything had been turned upside down. And I can't help but think that he took time to pray and to review and to think through all of these things. 3 days in darkness and under conviction that for all of this time he'd been wrong. He'd been wrong about what the Bible says. He'd been wrong about who Jesus Christ is.
He'd been wrong about these things. And then at the end of the 3 days, a change comes. But wait a minute. Maybe you too have gone through a time of darkness. A time of conviction. A time when you've had to realize the things I've said, the things I've done, the life that I've lived, my whole outlook on life has been wrong. And because of what Jesus Christ has said and done, now everything is upside down. Perhaps that's the case in your life. Part of the work of God and part of what you can relate to others. But then your eyes are opened. And you call upon the name of the Lord. Verses 12 and following. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that time I looked at him. Receive your sight. Come out of the darkness. Paul, come out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus Christ. I rather think that it was at this point that Paul was born again. He'd been convicted, but now the Spirit changes him and he can see. It's kind of like the fellows on the Emmaus Road with Jesus. And all of a sudden their eyes were opened and they realized they were walking with Jesus. And so Paul's eyes were opened. It's through the Word of God. I think this is the case. I think the testimony of Scripture is that we are born again through the instrumentality of the Word. Peter says you were born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. And so, light comes to the Apostle Paul. And what does Ananias say? And he said, "The God of our fathers has appointed you to know His will and to see the Righteous One and to hear an utterance from His mouth. For you will be a witness for Him to all men of what you have seen and heard." A little caveat with regard to the particular ministry of Paul now. Every one of us in this life has particular gifts and a particular ministry, as it were. And we're gifted to carry out that particular work. And it's different for all of us. But then the challenge comes. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. I don't think a particular order is meant here. But I think the idea is that Paul is being exhorted call upon the name of the Lord. That is, call upon Jesus Christ as the one who saves you from your sins because He died on that cross to pay the penalty due to your sins. And seek His forgiveness and thus wash away your sins. And don't pretend that you can be an independent Christian. Be baptized. That is, be united to the local body of Jesus Christ, the church at Damascus. And this is what seems to have taken place. He received the sacrament and was baptized into the body of Christ. The body which he had been persecuting. Now he became a member of it and was welcomed. Imagine this. And was welcomed by those whom he had been persecuting and those whom he intended to persecute. Well, it's a very interesting pattern, I think. A significant pattern. Discussions about things that happened before Christ. Christ initiating contact. There being conviction and perhaps a period of darkness in the life. Being born again. And sensing new life and then being able to say, thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you've done for me. Thank you for cleansing me from all of my sins. I think there is a pattern here. And I wouldn't pretend to be too rigid with it, for sure. But as Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you. Now, if you're going to be ready, what do you have to do? You have to make some preparation, don't you? That would usually be how it would work. And I suggest to you that if you think through your own life in relationship to this pattern of the testimony of the Apostle Paul, this gives you a starting place to be able to relate to others the hope that is in you. And so my simple plea really is, use the testimony of the Apostle Paul as a pattern for your own profession of faith. Here's a starting point. And you'd be surprised if you just take this little pattern and don't try and write a 30-page testimony. That's not what Acts 22 gives you, is it? It's very short. And in very short compass, you'll be able to relate to others and give a defense concerning the hope that is within you. So, again, I say, use the testimony of the Apostle Paul as a pattern for your own profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thanks again for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, and thank you for that which is given in Scripture about him. Grant us your grace in understanding what he has to say in this passage of Scripture, and help us, Father, to relate it to our own lives so that we too, like Him, similar to Him, may present to others that testimony, that defense of the good hope that You have given to us in Jesus Christ. Hear us, we pray, in His good and gracious name. Amen.